Hello and happy Wednesday. Listening to Steen on Sports, giving you sports your way every day. Check us out online at 1700thechamp.com. You can download the podcast. You can listen live. You can check us out on Facebook at 1700thechamp. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and 1700thechamp. If you're going to do sports betting in the state of Iowa, please use BetMGM. Download the app. Check out the specials. Put some skin in the game. Bet and win. That's all you have to do. Very easy. Easy to use. BetMGM app in the state of Iowa for all your sports betting needs. If you're looking for a bank, look no further than Northwest Bank. It's a member FDIC. Two locations in Ankeny. One in West Des Moines. Just got voted top workplace for the sixth year in a row. So not only is it a great place to work, it's an excellent bank for all your banking needs. Oh, okay, I got all those through. It is my pleasure to bring in. It's been a couple of weeks because he's a busy college student. But Andrew Steenblok coming in. He's at AndrewSteen75 on Twitter. Andrew, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing awesome. I think that I can officially say that spring has sprung, but I am stuck inside. But I'm excited for the nice weather to get back outside after I get some studying done.
We might have a chance for a few storms. You're a little bit further north. I mean, I think the kind of watch is all the way down to here, but getting one of those summer storms in the middle of the first part of March will be exciting. I want to thank you for coming in. We haven't got to talk NBA. But as always, when you and I are talking, the first thing we always talk about is golf.
Well, golf, exactly. Exactly. And I want to just quickly mention that our boy Bryson DeChambeau wins again on tour for the eighth time at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I don't think that there's a more exciting golfer to watch right now than Bryson. He just the way that he plays the game. I know that some people get a little bit upset when he brings over the rule official. And that did come into play a little bit on, I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday. If you were able to catch that rule official coming into play.
Yep, on his lie on the next to last hole. Yeah, but it was a rule, and everybody on TV said that is the difference between a lot of golfers. A lot of golfers just don't know the rules, and Bryson's one that does know the rules.
Yep, he knows the rules. I was watching it with my roommate, and we were just like, I mean, I get it, it's a rule, but I can also understand that some people might be a little bit angered because of the fact that he could change his lie on the ball and line it up and then putt it, but whatever. I'm excited that he won. I like seeing the young guys win on tour, and that leads us into this week, starting tomorrow with the Players Championship, the first one since 2019, since it was canceled last year, and I'm just looking forward. I don't think that he's the favorite. I think that the favorite right now is Dustin Johnson, looking at a 12-1 odds, right, and then followed by Rory, the reigning champ, and then Bryson and John Rahm. So I'm looking for maybe I wouldn't be surprised if someone like a Xander Schauffele or Colin Morikawa comes in, maybe could make a run at the top spot. But also, it's just hard to bet against Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau coming off of some hot wins.
You know, it's a tough course for DeChambeau too. His length is not as important there as accuracy. That kind of puts a damper on my guy, Jordan Spieth, who had another top five over the weekend, which made me happy. And I'm with you. I'm 1-2. I am a Bryson DeChambeau fan as well. I like golfers. It's the reason I've always liked Phil Mickelson. It's the reason I like Tiger. They can change their game. They change, you know, they're not set on everything they do. They don't, you know, if they got better equipment, they're going to go get better equipment. If they want to change it, the fact that Bryson takes the time and effort to find the perfect equipment for him, changing heads and changing club length and doing all that, that's, you know what? If you don't like it, I don't understand. And he's, you either love him or you hate him. And that's too bad because he seems like a great kid. And, you know, I thought the one thing that you know, he, not only was he excited because it's Arnold Palmer's thing, because he's a huge Arnold Palmer fan, but he also got a text from Tiger, and people said, well, you shouldn't have mentioned that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Why do you take that away from these young kids? That's the person. That would be no different than Tiger Woods when he won the first Masters. having Arnold and Jack come up to him and talk to him, because those were his two guys. A lot of these, Jordan and Justin and all these guys, their guy is Tiger Woods, and he's been through a lot. And the simple fact for Bryson is, you know, you get a text saying bring it home from somebody who's got enough to worry about. I just think people need to back off a little bit. So,
I'm glad.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just going to add to that, just saying that after watching him play on Sunday, that made me and my friends get to the tee time down in Grimes over at Beaver Creek for Monday morning. Got my first hole of my first round of 18 in on the season. It was beautiful weather. The golf, not so beautiful. Definitely can tell it's the first round of the year.
If you played well your first round and then you played horrible the rest of the year, which one would be more fun? I think I'd rather play horrible and get better.
Exactly. It's tough when you go from the simulators, you know, playing indoors. You don't have to worry about chipping and putting, but then when you get on the real course, that's where it comes into play. Exactly, yeah.
I agree. Once again, we're talking to Andrew Steenblok. He is at AndrewSteen75 on Twitter. Give him a follow. All right, let's talk about the All-Star Game, the format. Let's do that one first. So, you had the skills competition. I think you can throw that out the door. Then you had the three-point contest that I think was the best of maybe the whole entire weekend, or the day, since it wasn't a weekend. It was just a day.
Right. It was all one day.
I'm ready for the dunk contest to go away. I'm you know, you see dunks like that in games. So, but yeah. What'd you think of the three-point contest first?
Okay. Well, I just want to say that I don't know if Steph Curry should be allowed to be in the three-point contest going forward, because I'm not sure if anybody could touch him. I mean, he is the best three-point shooter that I've ever seen. Arguably, maybe not even arguably, the best three-point shooter in the history of the game. You just can't get enough of him making 9, 10 in a row. You know, it's fun to watch. And I'm on your side with the dunk contest. I don't think that's the most enticing aspect of All-Star Weekend, because, you know, I haven't really enjoyed an All-Star dunk contest probably since Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, just because there's only so many dunks that these guys can do.
And it was really funny, if you go back 10 years and they did this, I should have taken a picture of it so I could get it up, but they took a thing of where the shots happened 10 years ago and where the shots happened. And the biggest number of shots then were either dunks or layups, or, you know, there was probably 10 three-pointers. And this All-Star game, there were probably 25 dunks, and every other shot was from three-point line. I mean, that's where this game is going. And I agree with you. And I know that people have kind of come at me a little bit saying that, well, what about Damian Lillard? If you're talking about shooting from half court or even beyond half court and hitting three-pointers, that dude's a stud. But you to put him in a three-point shooting contest, he wouldn't even get in the three-point shooting contest. He doesn't shoot three-pointers at high. His percentage isn't high. He's not the shooter that Steph is. But his long-range ability is sick.
Yeah, but he's someone that, like you said, that as soon as he crosses half court, you need to get a hand in his face. And he's done that. He did that at the end of the All-Star game, too. I'm pretty sure that he won the All-Star game on a three that was from pretty much half court.
Right, and in intense situations. He did that down in the bubble, too. I mean, he was unbelievable in the bubble until he just ran up against a team, the Lakers, who just had better people. But he was the talk of the bubble last year. So I think that was pretty exciting. I thought the All-Star game was fun, watching him and Steph. And I thought the biggest thing, because you're such a big LeBron fan, watching LeBron enjoy just passing the ball to different people and doing all that. He got a couple of dunks in himself, only played like 13 minutes, but it looked like that was the happiest he's ever been in an All-Star game.
Yeah, I think that his favorite part and the best aspect of his All-Star weekend was him drafting his team. I think that he's put together some of the best teams over this past, I think it's 4 years that they've been doing this format. I feel like every time LeBron is just drafting the better overall team. He played less than 13 minutes, had 4 points, I think, 2 boards, And he did sit out the Lakers last game before the All-Star break with some left ankle soreness, I think. So it kind of makes sense. He just took it easy, kind of just taking in that All-Star break.
And he is the only, you know, when everybody's talking about how they're going to line up when they get ready to start the, you know, run for a title, he's probably the only player in the NBA that doesn't care where he's seated at. I think they could win as an 8 seed. I think they could win as a 1 seed, and they can win anywhere in between. So I think rest and getting Anthony Davis back is the biggest things that can happen for all of them. So I wanted to shoot some winners and losers from the first half at you and see if you had some comments on it. One of the winners happens to be the person we just talked about, was LeBron James. Just at 37 years old, having the energy and it looks like the joy of playing. I mean, I think that's a big winner for the first half for the NBA.
Definitely. And, you know, you also could say that the Lakers in the last month of the first half of the season were also probably a big loser. They lost 6 of their last 8 games. Granted, it was probably their toughest slate of games, and they didn't have Anthony Davis for all of those. And they lost Dennis Schroeder due to the safety and health protocols, who most nights is their third guy scoring. But the Lakers have struggled. I think that going forward, I agree with what you said that, you know, it's the seating aspect of it isn't as important, especially this year with the limited fans. You know, I don't think that home court advantage plays as big of a role. But just looking at one more winner, I think that Joel Embiid, I think he is the favorite right now to win the MVP. He is the most dominant center in the league. Jokic is also, I mean, a great center, but he's just not that dominating presence, you know, in the post. I think that Joel Embiid has just cemented himself as the top center in the league.
And that was such a first half of the season. Was such a sad thing too that him and Ben Simmons didn't get to play, because that would have changed some of the aspect of the All-Star game. I think it would have definitely changed some shot selection in there. Another winner, New York Knicks, first time at an All-Star break in a long time that they've been above 500, being 19-18. Julius Randle made the All-Star, you know, and I felt sorry for Julius Randle. I mean, it comes to a point in that All-Star game when you have people like Damian Lillard and Steph Curry and all those guys, you kind of get lost in it. But I think it was great for him to get his first one, get introduced, you get to hang with those guys. I think that was good for him. But the NBA is better when the New York Knicks are better.
Yes, I agree. And they deserve a win. I mean, come on. They've had a tough run. I think that they've earned their spot in the playoff picture once again.
I do too.
But I was going to say the next winner, I think, would be Mike Conley over with the Utah Jazz. He also had his long-awaited All-Star debut. It wasn't very memorable. He only made one shot from three, had 3 points and 1 rebound and assist. But he did come in second in the three-point contest, and his Jazz are debatably the best team in the league right now, had the best record, and they have also the easiest schedule going forward in the second half of the season, based on opponent wins percentage.
And I think that's important, you know, to get home games in Utah, not having to travel, young team. Donovan Mitchell also really fun to watch. Rudy Gobert, even though he looked, you know, when you saw some of the big guys, you know, Joel Embiid would have been different, but Jokic and Gobert and running up and down the floor, there isn't a lot of places for them in there. I think that my next ones would be a combo with Damian Lillard and Steph Curry, you know, once again showing that you don't have to be 6'8 and 240 pounds to dominate in the NBA. I think it's good for the NBA. I think that's the reason that your Trae Young and a bunch of those players are in the NBA, because of what these two have done. And, you know, they still got some years left in them, but they both have some tread on them too.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. And then I think my next winner is going to be James Harden. I think that he has adjusted and came into his new role with the Nets, and he is just playing at another level. He's, you know, scoring more points than he was when he was playing with the Houston Rockets earlier in the season. He's having more rebounds, playing better defense, and he's leading the league in assists. And he hasn't even been playing with Kevin Durant very much because he's been hurt. And I personally didn't see these big three with the Nets between KD and Kyrie and Harden working. I didn't think that they'd be able to share one ball. But Harden, you know, averaging over 11 assists in a game, has clearly proved me wrong so far.
Yeah, and it's they're actually a lot of fun to watch. And getting people don't think that Blake Griffin was a good addition. 13 minutes a game on what he could do and running the floor with those guys. And if they get Andre Drummond to, you know, give them, once again, 15 to 16 minutes a game and help their defense, they're going to go a long way. So hopefully you're going to stay with me for another segment, right? Because we got some more to do here.
I'll be here.
All right. So you've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. As always, if you're sports betting in Iowa, bet MGM. And if you're looking for a bank, we're going to go to Northwest Bank. Andrew and I will come back. We still got a couple more winners. And when you have winners, you always have losers. We'll go over that with the NBA with Andrew next.
Brewed in Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700, The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports. Bringing sports your way every day. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hopefully, if you're walking outside, you got a heavy weight tied onto you because, man, the wind is blowing. Whew, man, crazy out there. If you want to check us out on Twitter, go to @SteenOnSports or @1700TheChamp. Check us out on Facebook @1700TheChamp. You can always go to the website, 1700thechamp.com, and listen to the show live. I made sure I made that switch over today. And to download podcasts, I think we got yesterday's up today. I haven't seen the I usually get an email saying it's been done. We're going to carry on again. We're here with Andrew Steenblock. He is at AndrewSteen75. We've been talking a little bit about... we've been talking the NBA. We've been talking a lot of things. Andrew and we talked earlier today. And Andrew, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Steve Prohm. So yesterday, I had an epiphany yesterday.
Okay.
And the epiphany was after watching like Sean Miller and what he's putting Arizona through right now, Kansas with Les Miles and what he's putting that university through. The Kansas basketball coach helped me out. Just lost his name in my head.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that horrible? It'll come to us. But all the things, you know, they're still have investigations going on about them, too. So here's the thing that Steve Prohm has done this year. He hasn't won a lot of games. He hasn't won a game in the Big 12. They have a very tough draw against Oklahoma, you know, to try to get a win in the Big 12 tournament. In a tournament that as Cyclone fans, we're used to competing and playing really well. Here's the things that he hasn't done. He hasn't embarrassed the university. All the kids, you don't hear one student athlete say a bad thing about him. You put Jamie Pollard in a really difficult situation because of COVID and everything that's gone on. And if you don't, there's not somebody that I think is going to leave a Power 5 program and come, because it's with everything going on, you just don't know. And as much as I love Fred Hoiberg, and I love Fred Hoiberg, and it was a lot of fun when he was at Iowa State. I mean, he hasn't been winning a lot since he left there. So that was my epiphany is, you know, maybe we do give him another shot. We got a couple of good recruits coming in. We had a couple of kids play really well. Xavier Foster, that's a big one, you know, and if I'm, we know Jamie Pollard, he's going to go in, he's going to talk to all these student athletes. Maybe Xavier Foster wasn't happy. Maybe there's something behind scenes we can't see. But as somebody that's looking at some of the disasters that are happening at some of these other schools, Minnesota and just all over the place, and all these coaches getting fired, it's okay, but I don't see the people coming back in to help you and get into a winning program. They're just not out there as much as they used to be. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Here's what I think. I think that Iowa State has had a losing record for three of the last 4 years, both overall and in Big 12 play. And since 2017, we've had 50 total wins at 39% winning percentage. And I think that we're in a much worse spot today than when we were at in 2015 when he arrived. I get that COVID and players, they're leaving or they can't stay out of trouble, but I do think that at some point it's time to look at the coach and say, you know, it might be time to look in a different direction. But I do agree that I don't think that any Power Five conference coach will come to Iowa State. But I do think that there's someone out there that can come in and just get some recruits, just try and turn this thing around.
And I do. And one of the things that you know, I thought about that too. And you know how big a fan of Darren DeVries I am. I'm a huge fan. And he's winning at Drake. And somebody brought this up to me today. And we were talking, it was Duke. And they're like, well, do you think Duke's going to get in? And I'm like, here's my thought process. I don't care. Duke's 12-11. If Duke at 12-11 gets into the NCAA tournament instead of Drake at 25-3, I'm done. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. The ACC's down. They can't beat anybody. You know, I don't understand that. Now, I think Duke gets, you know, Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, he gets a pass. It's COVID. I mean, I think all of them, you have to weigh that part of it. But you're right. The past 3 years haven't been what we expected after the first 3 years. And if that's how your life is going, or that's, you know, if you're in that situation, then you probably are making changes in your life. And so I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little selfish. I do understand that it's a pretty high bar to be, you know, I want to be in the Big 12 championship. I want to, you know, be in the March Madness tournament. But I get that, you know, not every team can do that. But it's what I've come accustomed to at Iowa State. And when I don't get that, I get upset and I look for solutions. And maybe that solution is a different coach.
There you go. All right. So let's continue with the NBA. Here's my next winners, and it happens to be two players with the same last name on two different teams. Let's start with Lonzo Ball. Everybody thought Lonzo Ball was this big bust, and I don't think he's. I think he's been better coached this year. I just don't. They don't have the shooters that they need. I mean, they have the core there, but they're just missing. I mean, they're missing something. And Lonzo Ball, I think, is probably going to end up getting traded. And I think he's a very athletic point guard who has improved in every aspect of his game this year. The other part of that would be the Charlotte Hornets, and that would bring in LaMelo Ball. And everybody, and you know, you and I are huge Tyrese Halliburton fans. Right now, the rookie of the year in the NBA right now is LaMelo Ball. He's averaging over 20 points a game. He's playing 40 minutes a game. And I watched him a couple times when we were in Vegas. He's fun to watch.
Yeah. LaMelo Ball, yes, 100%. I think that both of the Ball brothers, so just going back to the Pelicans, I honestly don't know where they're missing anything at. I mean, they have Eric Bledsoe at the point guard as well as Lonzo Ball, you know, as the 1-2 guard. They've got Brandon Ingram. I think that Brandon Ingram is going to be a top 20 player in the NBA. They have Zion Williamson and Steven Adams. I just don't understand. It could be chemistry, just, you know, having some new parts coming in with Steven and Zion as well as Eric Bledsoe. But I'm still not completely sold out that the Pelicans are going to miss this playoff picture. But looking at the Hornets, I think that they are probably one of the most fun teams to watch. You got Airbnb with him and Miles Bridges. They're just throwing hoops. Gordon Hayward's playing like peak Jazz Gordon Hayward. I think that the only part that they're a little bit weak on would be their center. I don't think that they have anyone there that can get them to, you know, that next level. I think that Andre Drummond or maybe even Al Horford could be good to, you know, give the Hornets that little push to get them into the playoff picture.
And I agree, and I think Michael Jordan took a couple of hits for some of his drafts, but I think they're you know, with Bridges, that's coming back, and I think he was taking LaMelo Ball from day one because he needed something to sell, and he has that. My next winner again is the Phoenix Suns. You and I have talked about that. Even during the All-Star game, even though Chris Paul might have scored one or two points, he was so much fun to watch on the basketball court just because of his ability to dribble the ball and look for people to pass to. And that's an exciting team. And, you know, I think they're going to go places.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody expected the Suns after leaving, you know, after last year, that they'd be the number two seed coming into the All-Star break. That they're 100% a winner in my eyes, too. I think that should we go into losers now, or do we want to keep going with winners?
Nope.
Or should we? Yeah.
I got one more winner, and it's just because I tell him he's a winner all the time, and that's Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is playing, even though Joel Embiid is playing at MVP level, Ben Simmons is playing above at any point in time in his career right now, too, and they make a very dynamic 1-2 punch.
Yeah, especially in the last couple of weeks of the first half of the season, he was getting aggressive on offense, and that's going to make them win in the future. If he can just continue to be aggressive and push the ball into the paint and kick it out when he needs to, I think that the Sixers are going to be a tough team to beat.
I do too.
In seven games.
You got first loser. Go.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with just teams in general. But right now, both the Thunder and the Rockets, two teams that were in the playoffs last year, had a lot of players leave. It's hard to say that they're complete losers because they have an unreal amount of draft picks coming up. So I think that they're setting themselves up for success in the future. But if you're looking at where they were last year compared to now, the Thunder and the Rockets are both teams that I would consider to be losers.
And I agree with that. And they had to, you know, they went ahead and dumped cap space too, and they have all these draft picks. So they're going to be able to pluck somebody to come down there to either one of these teams and play. And I'm going to tell you one of these teams that might have somebody they might get rid of for something like that. And that's the Boston Celtics, who are my biggest loser so far. When you have two all-stars in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. When you have two players like that, there is no way that you should have seven-game losing streaks during your season. Danny Ainge has always been a grandiose GM, and I mean their core talent is there. Who would have thought that as much as Gordon Hayward is helping Charlotte, that maybe his people thought, well, he's not giving us enough for the money. Maybe he was that one person that was tying all these guys together. But they have been playing really bad basketball lately.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's also kind of on Kemba Walker. I mean, he's kind of, you know, their facilitator. He's their point guard coming in to replace Kyrie. I think that losing Kyrie was a big hit too, but Kemba hasn't really been, you know, lifting up, you know, the younger core of that team to what they are. I think that the Celtics, if they just, you know, figure out how to close games, they could be an easy team that can make the Eastern Conference Finals. If not, they could probably give the Nets a run for their money in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, so let's move into, we have about 4 minutes. Let's move into the second half. What do you think is the biggest storyline moving into the second half?
Well, for starters, it's going to be, can teams remain healthy? Can Kevin Durant come back and play? And can Anthony Davis come back and play? Because if the Lakers don't have a healthy Anthony Davis, I don't think that they're making it past maybe the first round in the playoffs.
I agree. They're older. And if they don't have that, you know, not having Anthony Davis takes that, you know, then you have to bring somebody else into that number two role. And then that takes them away from their 3, 4, and 5 role. And I agree with you on that one. And that's going to be the key because, you know, Kyrie Irving's not the most healthy person either. If they lose that, you know, James Harden's not winning them by himself. I don't think Kevin Durant or those three superstars, not one of them is going to carry them to the promised land by themselves. And I actually agree with you there. Another one that I think I want to see what's going to happen at the trade deadline, because there's a lot of teams out there that has players that, you know, they're going to be looking to see what they can do. And maybe, you know, you just have a lot of teams out there that their seasons are pretty much over already. And during COVID and having all this happen, when you are that far behind already, I don't know what you do. But the Minnesota Timberwolves have kind of shown that, man, you can't do it in the middle of the season. But a lot of these teams are going to start rebuilding. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of talent is going to be available at the trading deadline.
So the big trade piece is going to be Bradley Beal. I don't think that the Wizards are going to be trading him out before the season ends. I think that it'll be an off-season trade. I think that he's probably off the market, but there are going to be some moves that have to get made. I think that both the Nuggets and the 76ers, the Sixers are going to need to find someone to get them, I think it's a shooting guard, really, to, you know, get them into that next spot, because the Nets are going to be, I can't see the Nets taking the 2 seed for much longer in the East. I think they'll be at the 1 seed here soon. And then it's going to be tough for the Sixers to kind of make, to kind of just, you know, get to the next level. And I think that one trade might be looking for the Nuggets with, is it Will Barton? I think he's, you know, one of their shooting guards.
Right.
And I think that he'd be, because he's good on defense, he doesn't turn the ball over very often. I think that he's a lot better. And maybe just a trade straight up for Danny Green. I think that that would benefit both teams.
I do too, and it's going to be interesting to see if your Denver Nuggets, your Phoenix Suns, and your Utah Jazz. I don't think all three of them are going to be able to continue at the pace that they're at, but it's going to be interesting to see which one of them is going to. And if Anthony Davis, I mean, and you know, if you bring him back too early and he hurts it again, I don't know what you do. You know, it's no different than, you know, you're looking at the Iowa Hawkeyes right now and they're going into the Big Ten tournament. Is the Big Ten tournament the thing that you want the most, or is it how far can you go in the NCAA tournament? Same thing for the Lakers. Is being the one seed, two seed, three seed the most important thing, or having Anthony Davis completely 100% healthy and let the chips lie where they may? Because they're never going to drop lower than an eight. So, you know,
right.
It'll be interesting. And to think on top of that, what Anthony Davis was going to give them in the second half of the season is then LeBron James can take every third game off or every fourth game off and rest, because he's not going to get any rest right now with Anthony Davis not playing.
Mm-hmm. No, he's not going to, especially when they, you know, coming off of a tough month, you know, coming off of six losses, six of the last eight. But I think that's why they're trying to get Andre Drummond, because they need someone to, you know, match Anthony Davis's defensive presence. And I don't think that they're getting that out of Marc Gasol. He's more of a pass-first center, which is pretty crazy to think of. And Montrezl Harrell, you know, he's not necessarily a true five. He's more of a stretch four.
Right.
So I think that they're just missing someone to be a rim protector.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Happy Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a great day. Buckle down. It's windy out there. It went outside. Blowing all over the place. It's a great day. I want to thank Andrew Steenblock for coming in and talking a little NBA with his dad. Throw a little golf in there. It's always fun to bring somebody in that's passionate about what they want to talk about. He loves the NBA. And at 5 o'clock, Maddie Nelson coming in. We'll talk Iowa State with him, go over a little bit of Steve Prohm and let him hear my epiphany and see where he's at. Andrew wasn't buying my epiphany, and that happens every once in a while with me. They don't buy my epiphanies sometimes. Kevin O'Hare coming in today at 5:20. If you want to do some sports betting in the state of Iowa right now, go to BetMGM, download the app, and just put some skin in the game. Have fun. All the parlay specials, all you have to do is put a deposit in and you can start betting right away. And it's just a lot of fun. I know that my wife and I enjoy it. My oldest son, Zach, and I enjoy talking about it. It's a lot of fun. BetMGM is the way to go in the state of Iowa. Also want to thank Northwest Bank. They have two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. It's a great place to work. It's a great place to bank. Member FDIC. I want to thank them for jumping on and helping with promoting the show. And I appreciate that. It allows us to do some of the things that we're doing. So hopefully you're enjoying that. Big news today. And if you've listened to the program this week, with the whole Les Miles mess, and I'm not going to get in so much into the Les Miles mess, as I'm going to get the Jeff Long, who is the athletic director at the University of Kansas, has now lost his job as well. And I have a feeling that when the backstory starts filling in here, that people at the University of LSU are going to have to be in some sort of in danger of something. Because with all of this coming out into the light and everything that has been, it puts me over the edge even thinking about it, that you had somebody that was at your university that had this happening, you knew about it, you made recommendations to make sure that he wasn't around any female co-eds. And the only reason he got fired is because he couldn't be the team. When he was winning championships, nobody cared. And then when he started not being able to win and he was 2-2, they let him go. And we just willy-nilly passed that along. And you know, if you didn't at some point say something to the University of Kansas, and the University of Kansas should have done their due diligence, and I'm not going to tell you that I understand the whole due diligence of what you can and can't do, but somebody somewhere should have said something to the University of Kansas and said, if you have co-eds and they're around your program, you need to be careful. As a parent of a student athlete or a parent of a student, period, I would want to know if there was somebody on campus that was like that. I'm sorry, and I know that you have some privacy rights and stuff, but my goodness, that just brings up all kinds of just incredible. I don't even know what to say about it. It just makes me mad. If anybody in the country I am all for Luca Garza winning Player of the Year. I think he well deserves that. But when you're looking at the players that are going to get drafted in the NBA in the top two, Jalen Suggs and Cade Cunningham. Jalen Suggs put on a show last night after Gonzaga down 16, comes back and wins a game. And boy, if they were going to take a loss, that would have been the loss that they were looking at. They just didn't play very well. And that happens. But as a championship team that they are, or trying to get to, they came back and won that game. He is fun to watch, folks. If you haven't seen him play, he is a lot of fun. And it, to show you how good Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State is, the fact that Jalen Suggs wouldn't be the first person picked in the upcoming NBA draft, which I still think that Jalen Suggs might be the first pick and Cade Cunningham might be the second, but there's a whole lot of people that would disagree with me. That'll be very interesting to see. In the NCAA tournament for the Iowa women and Iowa State women, as they're playing in their conference championships, I know that Iowa plays tonight. I'll have to check the Iowa State. I couldn't find it the first time I looked. I'll try to do that over the long break. Iowa women are a 7 seed when they were kind of putting out their tops, and ISU was an 8 seed, so both making the tournament, which is excellent. Here locally, Andrea Sabori was found not guilty on 2 counts of disturbance, and she was a Des Moines Register reporter. Disturbance and there was another charge on there too. It took him 2 hours to say, you know, this is not a good thing. John Sarcone bringing charges up like that and having it go all the way to trial, probably not the best thing for the state of Iowa. I was going to tell Andrew earlier, because Andrew is that he's a big Bryson DeChambeau guy too. And there's a picture on Twitter right now with Bryson DeChambeau and it's showing the same, his swing and Jack Nicklaus's swing. And you really can't tell a difference between the two swings, which is pretty exciting. Riley Reiff was let go today from the Minnesota Vikings, saves them $10 million in cap space. And the reason I mention this is that, right now, the salary cap in the NFL has been set, and it's at $182.5 million. And for all of you out there, that seems like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. But the salary cap last year for the NFL was $198.2 million. So you're looking at $16 million difference. That means that even before some of these teams being over the cap, they still have to cut $16 million just to get under the salary cap based on the salary cap that they had the year before. So you had a 6%, 6 to 8% decrease from last year to this year. Most of the times in the past, the increases have been 6% increases on the other side. So it would be more common to be going from 182 to 198. This year, because of COVID, you're going from 198 to 182. So when you're seeing these Riley Reiffs and some other ones that are going to start coming out. Some teams are going to have to cut some veterans and save some cap space, or they're going to have to restructure a bunch of contracts. And I don't know, when you're getting pressure from the players' union to not do stuff like that, but you also don't want to lose your job to figure out if you can go somewhere else. I mean, it's just it's a horrible time for, you know, and the kickback. You always get the kickback. Well, they make lots of money, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's still a job. It'd be no different if you come into your work tomorrow and they say, well, you know what? Our salary cap for our department just went down $600,000, so we have to let you go. Or, you know, we want you to do the same job plus another person's half job, but we're going to pay you less money. That's kind of what you're seeing, to put that in like our layman's terms, that you know, it would be for us. So it's not something that you openly go out there and do. They came out today with the Naismith Hall of Fame for basketball, and an interesting group: Paul Pierce, Chris Bosh, Chris Webber, Michael Cooper, Lauren Jackson, Ben Wallace, Yolando Griffith are among the finalists for the 2020 Naismith. I'm a huge Paul Pierce fan. I still remember him playing. It seemed like he played at University of Kansas for like 8 years. He was finals MVP in 2008. He's a 10-time All-Star, second career leading scorer behind John Havlicek. Chris Bosh was a great role player. Not a role player. He was a great three. He was a good two. He was a good two, a great three. When LeBron James came down to Miami with Dwayne Wade, did a lot of changes in his game to make it easy, won a championship, had to retire from basketball because of a blood clot issue. Sad to see him leaving early. Chris Webber, Fab Five, you know, a great college basketball player, except for calling a timeout when he didn't have one. Had a really good NBA career, but the body just started to give out with all the wear and tear. Michael Cooper was one of the original, you know, with Showtime and Magic Johnson. Ben Wallace, a defensive specialist. Yolando Griffith and Lauren Jackson, two of the best WNBA players of all time. It's an interesting. I don't know who you would, you know, who you think is not worthy. It did say here that notables who did not make the cut: Chauncey Billups, Richard Hamilton, Becky Harmon, who we talk about on this show a lot because she's an assistant coach. She was the first woman's assistant coach in the NBA. And Swin Cash, not sure who that is. I'll do some research there to try to figure that out. But very exciting. Jay Wright with the Villanova team in college has an NCAA championship. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Oh, there we go. I got that little segment over with. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Matty Nelson. I'm going to talk a little bit about Iowa State, their chances tonight against Oklahoma, what we see coming up with them, and just to see what Matty Nelson thinks about my little theory here.